Okay. All righty. This morning I want to talk about church. Good topic, right? How we build church. And I think it's a lot easier for us to build an institution than it is to build the church as a family. Our minds are geared to building an institution. When we think of church, we think of the rules that are needed for a group of people. We think of the belief system we want to see everybody adhere to. We organize programs and we put people and we try to find people to function in different ways. And you kind of hope along the way that some of those people have an anointing from the Lord in what they're doing. But it's often about things that our natural mind is geared for. Organization, adding numbers. And as an institution, it's a very good thing because you're going to have a higher level of morality, people learning the Bible, learning about God. And as good as it is, we in ourselves cannot build family the way God sees family. We can build a good institution, but it doesn't mean that the people that are in that box know who the Father is or know His love. The things that really matter, knowing the Lord, experiencing Him, we cannot build in ourselves, no matter how organized, no matter how smart we are, how devoted we are. It's something that can only be accomplished through the Holy Spirit. God looks at church not as an organization. He looks at it as a family. He looks at each cell. Does it reflect a family spirit? And when church becomes family, the Father can be seen in who He is.
Amen.
But what does that mean in planet Earth? Another way to describe that is the kingdom of God. When the Father can be evident and be manifest through a group of people, it's His kingdom that's being manifest at the same time. We can talk about different aspects of the kingdom of God, but without the Father's presence being there, we don't have His realm or kingdom. So we think, well, we've got to have all these gifts of the Spirit. The kingdom does mean power. It means healing. It means miracles. It means revelation. It means a lot of things. It means something that will impact and change the cultures around us. But you want to boil it right down, the kingdom of God is our Heavenly Father having place in people's lives and demonstrating who He is by His presence in the earth. That's what Jesus did. Go behind all the miracles, all the wonderful teaching. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. He came to demonstrate who the Heavenly Father was to those that were open. And that's what really what church is all about. Church is to be a family cell where the Father can live and breathe through. Turn with me to John chapter 17. So when we talk about church, you know, there's just so many aspects. And I think about all the drama that goes along with the church system. I've been doing this now for, 44 years, I guess. Chuck, you've been doing it longer than that. There's just so much drama with people and so many problems. We call it battle, how the devil gets in and brings divisions, this, that, and the other. And if you understand the simplicity of what God wants to do is He just wants a family spirit of oneness where He can be seen through. We realize why all that battle is there. Fred said a number of weeks ago that if we don't have that oneness of heart, if the enemy can come in and bring division, he's disrupted everything. He's been doing that for thousands of years. And we think that if we have enough gifts, if we have enough ministries, we got our apostles and we got our prophets, we're okay. No, if we have division, if we don't have oneness, I don't care how many gift ministries you have, you don't have the purpose of God being fulfilled. We need apostles and prophets. We need all the gifts in operation. But it's in that spirit of oneness or the family spirit that it all demonstrates who the Father is. And that's what His will is. John 17, Jesus, you know, of all that He said and did, and of course the big thing, He died. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgotten. We're reconciled to the Father. But here He's opening up His heart as far as what it's all about. John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. this eternal realm that our minds can't comprehend. What is eternity? What is eternal life? Pretty simple. Knowing who the Son is and knowing the Father in an intimate relationship. We go down to verse 11. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are one. Oneness. How do we do it? We don't. It's the Father, through the Holy Spirit, that makes us one. Jesus is praying to the Father, keep them in oneness. With all our attempts to be unified, and think about all the battles you go through on a daily level over relationships. You know, we're not supposed to gossip, we're not supposed to criticize, yet we all have this tension and battle in our minds over things, people upsetting us. When we think about oneness, you can strive for unity, but you can never create oneness. That's a product of the Holy Spirit. We have to yield to God and realize that the family spirit that He wants to see is something only He can build. We go down to verse 21. They may be all one, even as thou, Father, art in me, I'm in you, they may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. That's what the glory of God is all about. Is it just some cloud we're supposed to experience and just have some great meetings like the Old Testament? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be in the temple when the priests couldn't even stand to minister because the glory of God was so thick? I'd love it. But He's given us glory so that we can experience what this plan of God is all about. Oneness with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Verse 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity. This is again our perfection. How much of our time has been spent on teaching, learning to be perfect, growing in the Lord? How does this happen? We don't perfect ourselves. I got news for you. A lot of people talk about the sandpaper ministry. Well, we're perfected by the things that irritate us and upset us. Well, that's part of the growth process. We don't create our own perfection. I don't care how dedicated you are, how hard you try. We're perfected in the spirit of oneness. Being a bride made ready for our bridegroom, the Lord, without spot, without wrinkle, is not something that we ourselves can produce. We should strive to live the best life we can live. I'm not saying just to let go and just don't care about those things. But as you're seeking the Lord, realize that being without spot, being without wrinkle, is what oneness does for you. Being one with the Father, everything is eliminated that should not be there. And in verse 26, and I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love where you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Oneness is all about knowing the love the Father had for the Son, and knowing that He has that same love for us. Okay, what happens when this becomes a reality with a group of believers, what we call a fellowship, what we call a church? That is a true family spirit.
Amen.
That God, we know He lives in us. God the Spirit lives in us. He dwells in us. But that is an atmosphere that He can manifest through. That He can be who He is. His thoughts, His heart, His presence. Just like He did through Jesus. It's going to be said of people, believers, that if you look at our life, you're not going to see people that are super spiritual or have that big S on their chest and walk around and draw a lot of attention to themselves. The Word says, let people see your good works and glorify the Father. What we have in the church realm is let people see your good works and glorify you. Put you on a pedestal. That's not the kingdom of God. The true family spirit where God is moving, it's going to be through humble, broken vessels. We're still human. We're going to be human. But people are going to look and see beyond the humanity and beyond the mistakes. They're going to look and see, that's my Heavenly Father. They're going to get a revelation of God's love for them. What's that? What's taking place when that's going on planet Earth? The kingdom of God is invading this realm and taking over. All right. You know, in thinking about this, I think, okay, we can't produce oneness. The Holy Spirit does. But I think our challenge is to allow the Spirit to grow within us and to yield to the Spirit. Our challenge, like the disciples who were with Jesus, is to let our relationship with Christ deepen. Now, they had a physical person to walk with. Was that to an advantage for them? No. They didn't get it. 3.5 years. They were with the man Jesus. They didn't understand the Christ, the anointing. So we're in the same place. We have the Christ within us. We don't have a physical person to relate to. We don't need that. We have to allow that relationship with that anointing, the Christ, to deepen. And like the disciples, you watch what they went through and their experiences. I mean, a classic example is Peter having a revelation that Jesus was the Christ. And that Jesus says, you know, my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. But we talk about feeling good about something. And just right afterwards, the Christ talking about going to the cross. And Peter saying, no, that can't be. And then being told, that's the devil influencing your thinking. What's all going on there? They have a relationship with this person, but it's not very deep. And it's those kind of experiences. That was a heartbreaker for Peter. He could have turned away and withdrawn and said, oh, I can't go on anymore. He didn't. Jesus spoke words to him that were very hard to hear, but he stuck with it. And his relationship with the Lord deepened. That wasn't the end of it with Peter. You know, we find him denying the Lord and all the disciples went through a lot of things. The love of God that Jesus had never let go of them. He said, I've not lost a one. But in order for their relationship to deepen, they had to be shaken. But that's what it's all about for all of us. He shakes our humanity so that we can deepen in our relationship with the Christ. Now, the end expression of oneness, I think the best expression is the bride, to me, in the word. Is the bride for a bridegroom. What is that all about? That's about total intimacy with the Lord, with our Heavenly Father. But to get to that relationship of being the bride of Christ without spot and wrinkle, I think there's steps we take and we're growing in. I'm just going to describe what's happening to us. One is we grow to that realization, and three different areas I want to touch on. We learn to follow the Lord. That's a relationship we develop. Revelation 14:4 says, those that follow the Lamb wherever he went. Now, many people, when they stop in this, we talk about the realm of religion. It's not about following Jesus. It's about hearing about Jesus, being blessed by Jesus, some gifts that involve the Lord. But their lives are their own. People will go to church and say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Do I want God's blessing? Sure. The Bible says he's going to prosper me. Who doesn't want to be prospered? Who doesn't want to be healed? But following the Lord is a step up in relationship. It's not about what I can just get from him. Following the Lamb wherever he goes. The rub to that is I want to go wherever I want to go. So as long as we're on the same track, there's no problems. But when he wants to go somewhere, go to the right, and I want to go to the left, that's where following the Lord becomes difficult. So our relationship deepens when we learn to say yes to his direction and denying our direction, the self-will, right? Matthew 16:24 says, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I think this is what the cross is all about in following the Lord, when he crosses our will. You take up the cross when you say yes to him and his direction and denying what you wanted to do. All a part of our growing up. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." Learning to follow the Lord. Okay, this is a deepening of relationship with Him. Has to do with listening and knowing His voice. And I'm kind of sad that in the church realm and religion, so little emphasis is put on individuals knowing the voice of the Lord. You're taught to know the voice of whoever's leading the church. Know the voice of your leaders. Know the voice of what we want you to do. But that doesn't cause you to grow. It's hearing the shepherd's voice. Because if you can't follow, if you don't hear. A lot of people are following the opinions of others. But when we hear the shepherd's voice, we follow by revelation what he's speaking. So our capacity to follow the Lamb wherever he is going depends on a growing awareness of his voice in our lives. And I think it comes down to this, that either we're going to learn to follow Christ, or we're just going to follow human opinion. Whether it be our own opinion or the opinion of others. And that's where it talks about people being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. When you're on that level where you're following human opinion, your life is just going to go back and forth, really going nowhere. You just feel you're being tossed in this direction, and then you get disillusioned with that, you go another direction. Jesus said, "Beware when they say, 'Lo, Christ is here, though he is there.'" So many people in religion, there's this instability. They're hot for a while in one direction, get disillusioned, try something else. The life of revelation is hearing his voice and following what he speaks. You're not tossed to and fro. It's not an easy road to follow often because, again, when our will is crossed, things get shaken up. But it's solid ground to be on.
Amen.
Where does that road lead when we're following the Lamb? Oneness. Second thing is a relationship. We learn to follow the Lord. We learn to become disciples. Now, following the Lord doesn't mean necessarily that you're changing all that much. It implies change. If you're following a direction that you don't want to go, that God is leading you, that changes your nature, doesn't it? But being a disciple is about manifesting what you're following. Religion tells us Jesus is wonderful, let's praise his name. But what religion can't do for us is to be like him. Jesus doesn't just want us to put him on a pedestal and say, "Praise your name." That starts there. He says, "Hey, you're praising me? You're to be exactly like me. I live in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory." Discipleship is learning to be mentored by him to where that very life is being manifest through us. Turn with me to John chapter 13, verse 35. This is something interesting that I didn't realize before. And we read this just a few weeks ago. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you love one another." In verse 35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Discipleship is not just about dedication. I think when we think of discipleship, we think about you got to be dedicated. Well, yeah, it is about dedication. But more than that, it's about loving one another. If we don't have that his love for one another, we are not disciples. And you can say, "Well, I'll do whatever he tells me to do. I'll give my body to be burned. I'm just dedicated. I'll just do anything." If you don't have love for your brother and sister, according to this scripture, you're not demonstrating discipleship. So having his life flowing through us, not just following his life, but having his life flowing through us, has to do with demonstrating love for one another. And the last thing is Jesus talked about in chapter 15, verse 15. We go from that level to becoming friends. He says it here, verse 15. "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you." What does it mean to be a friend of God? Abraham was a friend of God. It means that those things that God thinks, those things that are in God's heart, are not hidden from us. He shares with us. Friendship is an intimacy where God can share what's on his mind and heart and entrust it to us. What happens if it shakes up our plans and our agenda? Well, because we're friends, we're willing to let go of our agenda, our way of thinking, our expectations, and take on what God is speaking. Now, where do these things lead to? We're talking about following the Lamb. We're talking about being disciple. Talking about coming into that relationship like Jesus created with his disciples. You're now my friends. I can share with you anything. All those expressions lead to the reality of oneness, where God can create that oneness between his heart and ours. And I'll tell you, we've seen church for 2,000 years, and a lot of the theology with church has to do with the kingdom coming someday. But when we have the oneness and the family spirit, the kingdom of God is not someday anymore.
Amen.
Where that oneness is, the kingdom of God is being demonstrated with power. And that's what our hearts hunger for. How do we build church? Let's forget about the human way of looking at it, building an institution. That's not going to further the purposes of God. Let's say one thing. To build a church according to God's will is we allow the Holy Spirit to make us God's family. And the oneness that comes with that. Amen. Let's stand. Father, bless the word to our hearts. Our spirits yearn for this. I'm thankful that it's not something we can try to produce in ourselves. But Lord, we have absolute faith that as we learn to follow you, be your disciples and be your friends, we accept all these challenges to grow into this relationship. This is bringing us into the true oneness that Jesus spoke of in John 17. Amen.